This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The new book is At Reagan's Side, Insider's Recollections from Sacramento to the White House. It's an honor to welcome to the program Stephen Knott. He's an associate professor of national security studies at the United States Naval War College, and he previously served as co-chair of the Presidential Oral History Program at the Miller Center of Public Affairs, and he is the author of Alexander Hamilton and the Persistence of Myth. Steve, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a delight.
And live in studio as well, we have Jeff Chittister. He is chair of the National Discussion and Debate Series at the Miller Center, and he previously served as research director for presidential and special projects at the Miller Center's Presidential Oral History Program. How are you doing, Jeff? Thanks
I'm
for being here.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having us.
And congratulations to you both on the book. It's very exciting. It's really unique. I've really been looking forward to talking about this, and we should let folks know that we will be giving away a free copy at the end of the interview, the newest book about President Reagan, and you can get a copy here on WINA in just a few minutes, so keep listening. Jeff, let me start with you. Tell us where this book came from. It evolved out of an existing program at the Miller Center, right?
That's right. Well, the core of the book is a series of long interviews that the Miller Center conducted as part of the Ronald Reagan Oral History Project. Now, this project started back in August of 2001, and over the next 5 years, staff and scholars at the Miller Center interviewed about 45 people. From the Reagan administration and from his pre- and post-presidential days, people who really knew him best. And what we did was we would sit down for a day and a half at a time, and just sort of comprehensively debrief these folks who served with Reagan. And it generated over 3,000 pages of transcripts.
Oh my gosh!
And so there's just an enormous amount of information. And you know, scholars like Steve and I, we like to sit down and read these, you know, thousands of pages. But you know, weren't sure that everybody was going to, you know, go to the Miller Center website or visit the Miller Center and actually pour through these. So, but we thought there was such a great story being told collectively. And we wanted to put that into a way that was readable to you know, the average viewer or the average reader. And so we took these interviews, and I think together, you know, the thesis of the book, if you will, is Reagan's political career. And it's him beginning his career in politics in the mid-60s in California all the way to his death.
Wow.
And so what Steve
As
and I do—
As told by people who were literally at his side and saw
exactly,
everything.
Exactly, primarily. I mean, Steve and I, what we do is, I think that when we were thinking about doing the book, we realized that the people who told these stories told it better than we could tell it. So there was sort of the sense of deference that let's let them tell their story and we can provide some historical context to the story and sort of guide it along.
My guest is Jeff Chittister and Stephen Knott, co-authors of the new book, At Reagan's Side, Insider's Recollections from Sacramento to the White House. And Steve is on the long line from the Naval War College. Steve, tell me about some of the interviews, some of the ones that really stick out in your mind as just sort of unforgettable conversations you had.
Well, sure. The ones that jump out to me and the ones that in some ways were the most impressive were the ones that you least expected. And I'm thinking of perhaps Jim Kuhn, who was Reagan's personal assistant. This is a guy who was clearly not on the radar screen. He's not a cabinet officer. He's not a policymaker, but he's the first person to see Reagan in the morning and the last one to see him off at night. And he was just a fountain of stories in terms of what kind of a person Ronald Reagan was. And we actually ended up doing two interviews with Jim Kuhn because he was just a fabulous source. Also, Kathy Osborne, who was Reagan's personal secretary, was terrific.
Yeah. So, Steve, let me ask you, what's new in this book? I'm just curious. There's been so much written now about Reagan, and I'm curious what do these folks bring to the table? These insider recollections that make this book really jump out at you.
Well, again, I think there's a tendency for historians and political scientists and large publishing houses to go for the big name memoir. And a lot of times they miss the sort of, you know, less than headline-grabbing anecdotes that shed new light on a person. And I think one of the things that jumps out of the interviews that we recount in our book is that this was a remarkably genial person, and I've always kind of scratched my head to try to figure out how it was that this person ever became president of the United States. just seemed absolutely to be without any sort of guile or ruthlessness or Machiavellian qualities. So I think you get a fuller picture of Reagan the person. The other thing that sort of jumps out at me is that on the downside, had he been a little more ruthless, had he been a little more assertive, he might have been a more effective president. Jeff and I conclude in our introduction to the book that Reagan's domestic goals fell quite short of what he hoped to achieve. And again, that might be a case where had Reagan been a little tougher, he might have been able to accomplish a lot more than he did.
We're talking with Stephen Knott and Jeff Chittister. The new book is At Reagan's Side, and the phone lines are open, Reagan fans, at 977-1070. You have a question about your favorite president. These are the two guys to ask at 977-1070. Pick up the phone and give us a call. Jeff, there was a Saturday Night Live sketch I remember years ago. I think it was in the 80s, mm-hmm. where they showed Reagan sort of around the public and around the media. He was just sort of sheepish and friendly and like, you know, aw shucks and sort of clueless. And then behind the scenes, he would jump into this very controlling and very, very smart. You remember that sketch? And I'm thinking that the truth is probably somewhere in between. What did we learn from these stories from behind the scenes about what he was like in those situations?
Well, I think, and going back to what Steve said, I actually think that, you know, in addition to hitting on some of the major events of the presidency, the dealings with the Soviet Union, the tax cuts, the Iran-Contra affair, to me, what really rose to being sort of the key finding, if you will, of the book was the information that we were able to glean about Reagan the individual. And this is someone who is just a complete mystery to so many people. I mean, there's people who worked with him since the early 1960s who still do not get the man. His official biographer, Edmund Morris, who was able to have unprecedented access into the White House from late 1985 onward, was just utterly confused by who this person was.
Really?
There's this story that Reagan had this invisible wall put up around him all the time, and I think that. You know, collectively by what people say about being around him, working with him, I don't think that the wall has exactly been penetrated. I think a lot of people have said this, and I think there's a lot of truth to it, that the only person that maybe really knew and understood Ronald Reagan was Nancy Reagan.
Really? And of course, did these stories bear out the fact that, you know, what we hear anecdotally, that she was so involved in the White House?
It depends on what you look at. I mean, there's some people, and again, this is coming from people who are fond of Ronald Reagan by and large. What most people would say is that she had little, if any, role in policy making. But when it came to personnel decisions, she was actually quite involved. There's a good excerpt, if I can just read this real quick. This is from Paul Laxalt, who was a senator from Nevada, and what he said, this is a different one, but this is interesting. He says, and you know, this is Nancy Reagan, you know, former actress, and she's talking to, you know, some very senior officials, and he says she tended just to intimidate the hell out of most of the legislators. And then we asked, how would you assess her influence on him? And he says substantial. And there's people that say that when it came to personnel decisions, which President Reagan hated to get involved in, Nancy Reagan was consistently heavily involved in.
Really? We're talking
it's
with Jeff.
True that yeah. Reagan hated to fire anybody. And I think it was, I'm not sure, I don't want to throw out a name, but one of our interviewees told us that in the early days when Reagan lived in California, this is even prior to him being governor, they had a problem with a maid in their house, and he couldn't even fire her. He had to get his lawyer to do it. So,
we're talking with Stephen Knott and Jeff Chittister. They are the co-authors of the new book, At Reagan's Side, Insider's Recollections from Sacramento to the White House. And, Steve, any other thoughts you want to share about the book?
Yeah, I wanted to add about you mentioned that Saturday Night Live skit, which I'm old enough to remember. I'm not sure Jeff was. He's kind of a young guy, up-and-coming young star. But On the matters dealing with the Soviet Union and arms control, Reagan drove the policy, and, you know, much to the despair of some of the hardliners in his administration, Weinberger in particular, Richard Perle, and some others, Reagan was, yes, he was anti-communist, but he was also anti-nuclear, and he hated the doctrine of mutual assured destruction, and wanted to do anything he could to move the United States away from what he viewed as an immoral policy of holding both the Soviet and American populations captive to this nuclear terror. And, you know, here he is at Reykjavik with Gorbachev, you know, basically willing to try to move towards a ban on all nuclear weapons. And this just horrified Weinberger and some of the others. So there is a classic case where Ronald Reagan drove the policy. He was interested in it. It's not that he was an expert on throw weight or, you know, MIRVed missiles, but he had this deep and abiding fear of nuclear weapons, and it may well have stemmed from his religious beliefs. And he drove the policy, much to the despair of the hardliners in his own administration.
So he was able to hold off the hawks a bit.
He was. And by the way, Weinberger just ends up leaving. And, you know, he's replaced by Frank Carlucci, who's a little more in line with Reagan's position on these things.
Interesting.
This notion that Reagan was somehow a puppet and was sort of controlled by, you know, powerful staff members or whatever is ridiculous. He was somewhat passive. There were certain issues he could care less about and wasn't particularly engaged.
For example?
Well, a lot of the domestic issues, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And one of the things Jeff and I do in the book is we're a little bit critical of him in terms of his policies on civil rights. Not that, you know, his opposition to affirmative action was somehow racist, but he never even really made any attempt to kind of reach out to, I would argue, to Jeff and I would argue, to reach out to the African-American community. He had these vaunted communication skills, and he didn't use it.
Right,
one of the most pressing issues domestically that we've confronted.
And probably, would you say it's a result of, you know, intellectual incuriosity versus outright racism?
No, I would give him more credit than that. I would say that he's somebody who was in the tradition of believing that the federal government should play a pretty limited role in racial matters and that these were essentially state or local issues. So I think he was intellectually curious, but he was certainly curious about issues like nuclear weapons, communism. I don't know, Jeff, if you can think of something else where Reagan was particularly engaged. But they, you know, as far as the welfare state and things of that sort, these were not things that particularly moved this man.
Right.
And
right.
To give him his credit, I think it was more of a philosophical aversion as opposed to just a lack of curiosity.
And we heard that throughout our interviews that you know, Reagan, from the time he entered politics in the mid '60s, really had two or three or four major things that he was interested in. He wanted to cut the size of government. He wanted to fight and defeat communism. You know, he wasn't going to get involved in the minute details of Health and Human Services policy.
He wasn't running to heal race relations or anything like that. He knew, unlike some presidents, perhaps. Reagan knew why he was in the White House.
Yes, and it's interesting when it comes to the, you know, the issue of race relations, even from way back in the beginning, there were times when he would get hit hard on that, and it was deeply wounding to him personally. He just could not understand why people would think that he was insensitive to racial matters, yet his record, you know, bears, you know, no real overtures to the African American community.
Share with us, if you can, Jeff, if you have another story from the book.
Well, you know, Steve jogged my memory about the Saturday Night Live clip because I didn't really get to answer the didn't get around to answering the question. But the short answer is no. He was not at all different around you know, the public Reagan was no different than the private Reagan. And there's a lot of great stories that really exemplify just how jovial, how kind, how comfortable this man was in his own skin. And if I can, there's one from Jim Kuhn who tells a story about when they were at Camp David. If I can just read it real quick.
Sure thing, yeah.
Kuhn says, one weekend at Camp David, I got a call from the White House switchboard saying that we had Bill Smith calling for the president. Of course, William French Smith, the attorney general. The Reagans called him Bill. I said, of course, put him through. Well, that night after the movie, we're talking about the movie. Reagan says, you know, I had an interesting discussion today with a gentleman from North Carolina about excellence in education. He had some really good ideas. We talked for over half an hour. I started thinking, how did that call go through? Reagan just didn't call this guy. I said, this guy called you, Mr. President? And he said, yes. I said, do you remember his name? He said, yes, it was a common name. Smith, I believe. In fact, Bill Smith, I believe, from North Carolina. I said, okay, interesting. I didn't say anything. Everybody left. I went into the kitchen, called the White House operator. I said, tell me, I cleared that call, Bill Smith. What town was that in North Carolina? Rocky something? And his name is Bill Smith? He said, yes, and you cleared it. I sure did. I said, okay, thank you. Now, a lot of presidents would have said, how the hell did that guy get through to me? Reagan was delighted to hear from him. But can you imagine? He calls the White House, gets transferred to Camp David. The next thing you know, he's got the president on the line. I wonder if he thought that's how it works. So Reagan
great.
Gets this call from this general, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's terrific.
And he talks to them for half an hour.
We're talking about the new book, At Reagan's Side, and we're giving away a copy here in just a couple of minutes, so keep listening. Rick is on line three. Rick, you're on with Steve Knott and Jeff Chittister. Go right ahead.
Well, hey there, fellas. Hope everything's going well with you today. I'm sure to appreciate y'all being on Coy's show.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be able to chat with folks who have done such great scholarship.
Thank you. I've
enjoyed the programs at Miller myself a few times, and Center for Liberal Arts has done some programs that must have drawn on some of the work that you've done with getting some of this information that's been made available, you know, as a result of moving into the public domain. But I'm intrigued. First of all, I'm an old dude, one of the aging wind pastors that actually remembers Reagan from the movies as well, where I thoroughly enjoyed him. And thoroughly enjoyed him as the great communicator that I think he sort of carved out for himself in history as president. You know, I didn't always agree with his politics, but do any of us ever agree with all the politics of any president? My question has to do with something that I've often heard, and I don't know if it's just is one of those stories that becomes mythical. I've often thought that Reagan would be someone I would not want to play poker with. I have the feeling that the guy must have been pretty impressive in that regard, because this thing about Star Wars, the whole Star Wars defense, maybe you could address that or say something about it, because the story that I've heard is basically that he threatened the Russians with the Soviets with something that didn't exist. Much to the chagrin of many of the folks in our Defense Department who were like, you know, hush, hush, be quiet, what are you talking about, you're crazy. But it worked.
Rick, thank you for the call. It's a great question. Steve, what do you think?
Absolutely. He was a terrific negotiator. By the way, Jeff's a better poker player than I am, so he's probably more equipped to answer this question. But in terms of Reagan's toughness as a negotiator and dealing with the Soviets, I mean, he felt, as a former president of the Screen Actors Guild, that it was really... You know, dealing with Gorbachev was no different than dealing with Louis B. Mayer, one of the Hollywood titans. So he had really cut his teeth in terms of negotiation skills back in Hollywood and was extremely proud of his capabilities in a room one-on-one with anybody, whether it was a Hollywood studio chief or the head of the Soviet Communist Party. Secondly, I do think there's considerable evidence that Reagan's SDI program scared the heck out of the Soviets. Whether we, you know, we're going to be able to do it or not is another thing, but they believed, enough of them seemed to believe, that we had the capability to do it. They were fearful of our technological prowess, and it had its desired effect.
There you go. Rick, thank you for the call. Steve Knott and Jeff Chittister, the new book is At Reagan's Side, Insider's Recollections from Sacramento to the White House. Congratulations, guys, on a great new book. It's really something.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.